Chapter 52. We didn't want to wait. We both wanted to start a family straight away. We were working crazy hours, our jobs were demanding, the timing wasn't ideal, but too bad. This had always been our main priority. We worried about the stress of our daily lives, that it might prevent us getting pregnant. The toll was starting to be visible on Meg. She'd lost a great deal of weight in the last year, despite all the shepherd's pie. "I'm eating more than ever," she reported, yet her weight kept dropping. Friends recommended an Ayurvedic doctor who'd help them conceive. As I understood it, Ayurvedic medicine sorted people into categories. I don't recall which category this doctor sorted Meg into, but she did confirm our suspicion that Meg's weight loss might be a barrier to conceiving. "Gain 5 pounds," the doctor promised, "and you'll get pregnant." So Meg ate, and soon put on the recommended 5 pounds, and we looked hopefully at the calendar. Towards the end of summer 2018, we went to Scotland, the Castle of May, to spend a few days with Pa. The bond between Meg and Pa, always strong, grew even stronger during that weekend. One night, over pre-dinner cocktails, Fred Astaire playing in the background, it emerged that Meg shared a birth date with Pa's favourite person, Gangan. August 4th. "Amazing," Pa said with a smile. At the memory of Gangan and the link between her and my bride, he suddenly became buoyant, telling stories I'd never heard, essentially performing, showing off for Meg. One story in particular delighted us both, captured our imagination. It was about the Selkies.
"The what, Pa?"
"Scottish mermaids," he said. "They took the form of seals and cruised along the shore outside the castle, within a stone's throw of where we were sitting. So, when you see a seal," he advised, "you never can tell. Sing to it. They often sing back." "Oh, come on. You're telling fairy tales, Pa."
"No, it's absolutely true."
Did I imagine, did Pa promise, that the Selkies might also grant a wish? We talked a bit during that dinner about the stress we'd been under. "If we could just convince the papers to back off," we said, "for a little while." Pa nodded, but he felt it very important to remind us, "Yes, yes, Pa, we know, don't read it." At tea the next day, the good vibes continued. We were all laughing, talking about one thing and another, when Pa's butler burst into the room, putting a landline behind him. "Your Royal Highness, Her Majesty." Pa sat bolt upright. "Oh, yes." He reached for the phone. "I'm sorry, sir, but she's calling for the Duchess."
"Oh."
We all looked stunned. Meg tentatively reached for the phone. It seemed Granny was calling to talk about Meg's father. She was responding to a letter Meg had written her, asking for advice and help. Meg said she didn't know how to make the press stop interviewing him, enticing him to say horrid things. Granny now suggested that Meg forget the press, go and see her father, try to talk some sense into him. Meg explained that he lived in a Mexican border town and she didn't know how she'd ever get through the airport, through the press surrounding his house, then through that part of town and back again, quietly, safely. Granny acknowledged the many problems with this plan. "In that case, perhaps write him a letter." Pa agreed. "Splendid idea."